areas was the engagement matrix in draft form, and said you asked for an understanding or asked for ways to engage by community and by region. And so we presented this and said, we're going to keep working on this and try to make this a reality. And Ted, if you could go one more time. Or not. Well, it may or may not be the site we're looking for. And there we go. So Patrick Jones, who's sitting here next to Sally, is one of the newest members of the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team. And Patrick has been working hand-in-hand with Chris Gift on starting the first steps of evolving that engagement matrix into an interface, if you will. Some way for you, the community, to interface with the engagement activities that you want and that we have created. What will happen is, in the first stage, is that we'll take that global events community calendar, and those events that are logged into there will be extracted into here, much more visible, much more relatable from a regional and a global perspective, and you will still be able to sort them and filter them to what you need. Now, this is only the first step, and I know, Patrick, you have more things in mind coming working with Chris. If you'd like to just introduce yourself quickly.
Yes, I'm Patrick Jones, and recent addition to Global Stakeholder Engagement, but having been with ICANN for 8 years, I've been providing some expertise on how to use the tools and information that we have and turn this into something that really enriches the engagement that we have with the community. This interface is just a concept of taking the pastel-colored matrix that was presented in Buenos Aires and turning it into something that's more functional and practical for taking the data that's in the master calendar, community calendar, and showing it in a way that you can search by regional area or by functional area for the events that are interesting to you. And we're still working on this. The intention is that with the launch of the new ICANN.org, that you'll be able to find this through multiple ways. You could go to the new homepage and view it through either going to look up the community events or from the Get Started page. And if Ted, if you're able to scroll down a little bit, you can show the rest of the page. So here's an example. This is just sample data showing for Africa and the types of events and the categories that we have right now are pulling from the community calendar. And so the goal is that we'll be able to see very quickly the number of events that are happening in the regions related to these topics, and that we can continue to add them based on the inputs that are coming from the community.
Thanks very much, Patrick. And this is, again, where we need the community, because you need to come in and help us to develop these next steps. You know, what else do we need to do to showcase more possibilities? Where are the gaps? Once you start to see events come up here and you say, well, in my region, I haven't seen DNSSEC training. In my region, I haven't seen business outreach. And this way, you'll be able to start providing us with the information that we need to support you better in your region. Thank you, Ted. If we can flip back. And the third, taking us on our 18-month journey and finding out what's important to you from an outreach perspective and what you needed, was the digital collateral and ICANN Labs. And Chris Gift, once again, is here to just show us a quick update of where the new ICANN.org has landed now.
Thank you very much, Janice. As Janice had said, this started some time ago. I'm not going to spend too much time on the website, because I think you can go look at it. It is new.icann.org. It is not the official website. We have been running this in parallel with the official website, which is just simply, www.icann.org, so that everybody could see our work and we could be very transparent about the process. So the first thing I want to do is simply remind everybody that when we, to refresh your memory about the three concentric circles, which I know we will be touching more about in just a minute, but really about inform, those circles were really inform, engage, and then support. So when we looked at this website early on last year, we really wanted to tackle the first two circles, inform and engage. Support, which meant supporting the working groups and the day-to-day working activity of ICANN, was really for a later effort. So the website is still very focused on engagement. We haven't forgotten the veterans, but nonetheless, a lot of the new features are focused on newcomers and engaging people. So where do we stand? We are aiming for a launch in April. We are really focused very much on fit and finish. You know, as somebody said, it sounded like we're finishing up the painting work on our house, and it sort of is like that. We're just tweaking things here and there. We do know that there are bugs in the website. We are working on those. If you see any of those, please feel free. Please let us know. There is a feedback button on the bottom right. So. You know, let us know what you see wrong or what's missing. And that's not only bugs, that is anything else. You know, features, content, anything that you may see. I also want to send out a big thank you to the Digital Advisory Group. You may not know of that group, although I'm trying to see if any members are in the room. I actually don't see any. It's a group of about 30 people, 30 plus people, that have been intimately involved in this website. That digital advisory group is open to everybody, by the way, so if you want to participate going forward, please join. But it is a group that meets every other week, and they work on this website with us. We work hand in hand with them. So, you know, we create new features, we show them to them, and they say, you know, yes or no, or here's how it needs to be changed, and then we go ahead and do so. So just this has been a very, very collaborative effort. Well, not even collaborative. It's really been a bottom-up effort in terms of telling us what we needed and how we needed to develop this website. So a very big thank you to that group. As I warned them, though, their work was not done. It's going to be ongoing, as this website will never be done. We will always add new features, new capabilities, and new content to it. So that does bring me to the next, which is, you know, what have we added? Again, I'm not going to spend any time on these. I think you can go look, but just here are some of the things that are new and available to you. There's a lot of new content. There's a lot of new sections. We also have improved things for veterans. I think one thing I would like to highlight is the search. So people who have been using Google to find content on ICANN.org hopefully will now be able to turn to ICANN.org to find information that they need. Lastly, what's next? Even though we are just launching this, we are nonetheless focused on the future as well, and the Digital Advisor Group is helping us plan this work. But we're very focused on translation management pilots. So how can we translate content more fully on ICANN web assets, whether that's the meeting website or others? So we're very interested in testing ideas out there. We're obviously looking at an accessibility upgrade. The site is accessible, but there's a lot more we can do. And on that effort, we are working with, there is a working group that has started within the community about accessibility, so we are working with them on this. And then there's some other work as well around the peer advisory network and some other activities. Please feel free to come up and ask me more information about this activity, and if you're interested in participating, there are actually very interesting experiments that we're going to run, so please come join us in those. And then the very, very last point is we understand that there are a number of ICANN assets out there, so a number of websites, logins, there's all sorts of ways to get at us. We are slowly bringing those into the fold. So this is the beginning of that process. So, you know, ICANN Learn and others will be more fully integrated into the website as well as the community wiki, so we'll have one single login for people. That is a process that is ongoing, and just give us a little time. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Chris, very much. I feel like a game show host sometimes when I do this. Like something is going to go around the wheel, and we're all going to win prizes. So with that, we've kind of caught up those of you who haven't been part of this journey very quickly, albeit, but we've kind of caught you up to why we are here as a global stakeholder engagement team to transition us, as we started in Buenos Aires, from looking at outreach to looking at engagement. and the components of engagement, which you have talked to us and said, these are the things that we need. So I'm going to be turning over to Sally, who will be sharing the three main topics of discussion and how we're going to go about engaging you today to get more ideas for ourselves on how we're going to move forward.
Is this, the system works. I'll stand up just for a bit of variety. Okay, so nice to see you all this morning. For any of you who don't know, I'm Sally Costerton, and I tend to say I lead stakeholder engagement because it's a thing that you do. But the team is called Global Stakeholder Engagement, and that's GSE. So for any of you who think it's a different thing, it's not. It's the same thing. So there was some confusion about that in a different meeting this week. Thank you, Janice. I think that's been a very good catch-up. What we wanted to do today was, in this session, apart from to bring you up to date, was to spend some time together. This has been an incredibly, and will continue to be, an incredibly collaborative process. The community was doing engagement long before the staff team expanded to the extent it has now, and I, for one, want to make very, very sure that this continues to be, both regionally and globally, an exercise that we engage in together, that we use the resources that we have different resources, and we make sure we maximize the different resources and opportunities that we have. So what we're going to ask you to do in a minute is to break into a couple of groups and have a bit of a discussion, a bit of a brainstorm, to look at how we move on in three key areas. First one is raising awareness. In many of these meetings that we've had, in many conversations that we've had with you, we've looked at the question of, well, you know what, in my region, in my constituency group, there is not enough awareness about what ICANN does. And it's going to be very difficult for me to recruit additional members for my group if the people that I might want to recruit don't actually understand who we are and why they might need to be part of what we do. The second area, which many of you are very interested in, and has been a big focus, particularly of our regional engagement activities, both the staff outreach and the community working groups, is capacity building. And in the very early sessions that Janice was running before I joined ICANN, a lot of discussion about defining what was capacity building, what was outreach, what was engagement. I think we reached the point around a year ago where we agreed we weren't so worried about the definitions, we wanted to make sure we were actually doing it. So we'll have a discussion in the group about how can we build on what we've done and what are the kind of key priorities around capacity building for ICANN, bearing in mind that we exist inside an internet ecosystem and there are other organizations who are also involved in capacity building. So hopefully we can look more broadly at how do we make sure that the skills and the trainings are really being delivered in the right place at the right time. We were having a discussion in the Africa strategy session about this yesterday, and how do we make sure that we know what kind of capacity people want? It sounds terribly obvious, but sometimes there can be a very well-intentioned, but perhaps a bit unhelpful, desire for some groups or some countries to say, hey, we know what is needed in Latin America, or we know what's needed in Africa, or we know what's needed in Asia, and they forget to actually ask the question of the people who have the need. And then finally, and this is really, this third one is definitely brainstorming rather than kind of putting in advice. We've been doing a lot of work this year for the first time around business engagement, and we want to use this opportunity to get some ideas from you as to how we might expand that into other global stakeholder groups like civil society or academia, so that we can actually deepen our engagement with those groups around the world as well as looking at them regionally. So this is the three-circle model that Chris referred to, and the reason I've put it back up on the screen is to remind everybody who's seen it before, this is what's driving all our thinking about engagement. Whether it's face-to-face, whether it's online, it's also driving largely our communication strategy and the way we're handling our engagement with the media around the world, our social media strategy. So just to remind you, this outside ring, the purple ring, is very communications-led, making sure that we are raising awareness around the world with different stakeholder groups about what ICANN does and why they might need to be involved. The middle section is led principally by our regional engagement strategies. So this is very much about taking the internet communities in different regions and trying to bring people who want to come into ICANN, either to participate in discussions or to participate in working groups. And then finally, in the middle, how do we support the groups that are already here? And we're working very closely, particularly with David Olive's team, to make sure that there is a good, a sort of joined up process between the process of bringing somebody in for the first time, as it were, from the outside, and taking them through a journey. Increasingly in the future, it will be on our website, taking them through a self-educating journey, if you like, to allow them to get to the point where they may be a well-educated volunteer who might want to participate in a working group, so that we are also addressing the question of how do we refresh the working groups and make sure that when people arrive for working groups, they actually know what they're doing, they've been mentored, they've had some peer support, they've been reasonably well educated, and they don't just turn up and say, hey, I'd like to chair a committee, please. And it's the first time that they've actually kind of risen, you know, entered a community group. And that's something we've worked very closely with people like Mikey, Avery, Marilyn, who've been very involved in these groups in the past and today to help inform us. So, this is the point we're going to break into groups. I'm just looking at Janice because she'll tell me if I've got the process wrong. So we've got three, we can do this two ways. We can either do this in three separate groups if people would like to do that, or we can break into, I think, what do you think, Janice? Do you think two groups or three groups?
Well, I mean, there's an intimacy here about this group.
One group.
Yeah, I think we could do it. I think we could go through each one of the different ones together.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you'll find, some of you, I don't know whether you've done this or not, but that each one of these groups, we've written a small paper, which has been placed on the microsite for the meeting, that will tell you, I'll give you an update on what we've been doing in these areas. And they've been written by these three groups of people. So maybe I think the best thing to do is if we ask, we deal with each topic in turn. Mm-hmm. Now, how much time have we got? It's 25 past 11 now, according to my watch.
Right, and so we're here to 12:30.
Okay, so we've got an hour. So what I suggest we do is have probably 15 or 20 minutes discussion, which we'll ask these guys to come up and facilitate around the topic for the whole group. And we'll bring the roving mics into the audience for interaction. And then we will summarize and feedback on each session, I think, as we go. And there should be plenty of time to do that in the hour. Yeah? We can step up and do it here. Yes, we don't need to be behind the table. Sorry, yes, that's quite unnecessary. So in that case, if you want to gather together, but if you don't need to, I think we'll bring the mics to you. And let's start with you, Quek, and we'll start on raising awareness. So if you can come up and brief the group roughly on what the summary of the paper, and pose the question, and we'll take it from there, okay? How many roving mics have we got?
Sorry.
Two.
I didn't know you.
Okay, fine.
Table
mic then, because we'll use the roving mic for the audience. Thanks. You won't need to slide to us.
Okay. So I'm put up here alone. I feel a little lonely, but it's fine.
I'll come sit with you.
Yay.
And Quek, I'm going to be over here so I can get anybody's comments,
thank you.
And we'll summarize them over here.
Thank you. So the theme that we're discussing here is raising awareness. And the reason why we're raising this, can I have a show of hands of how many people have read the paper? Okay, so I'll do this. I think there's a realization that too often the behind-the-scenes workings of the internet are taken for granted. I mean, like if you look out at the city, you see people on their smartphones and tablets and they transact, communicate, broadcast messages and find out about things through the internet. But there is very little understanding of the work that is being done in rooms like this to discuss issues that actually directly impact the way the services they get to enjoy. So it is because of this reason that we feel that awareness needs to be raised so that we have champions for the model that we have here for coming up with decisions. It really is going out to the community to say that, look, if you like the internet the way it is, if you enjoy it, then you've enjoyed the conditions that have made these possible, then come out and defend the fact that we like the fact that, you know, the technical community, the civil society, businesses, governments come together to come up with policies. So that's one reason. The other reason is that we need these end users, we need people outside of the room, we need the broader community to come and help in our policy development process. If we just end up becoming a club where we talk to each other, there is a question of whether or not we are bringing real-world situations in this room for discussions. And I think the best way to make sure that our conversations stay relevant is if we raise awareness and get people into the room. So just to quickly run through the communications objectives, which is really the great work done by Duncan's team, that is to define ICANN's role in the internet ecosystem, to inform the public about ICANN's relation to and position on global internet policies, promote the benefits of the multi-stakeholder model that we know and love so well, to engage proactively with the global community, to discuss ICANN using language that is accessible to all our audiences. Repeatedly, I hear people say that coming to an ICANN meeting is very intimidating because there's jargon thrown around, we don't understand the issues. So really making that language accessible. Public education on how the new GTLD program will benefit internet users, organizations, and communities. Amongst the group, and I hope we have rough consensus here, we know that the new GTLD program is designed to bring competition and choice to the marketplace. In that process, as you might have lived it over the past few days, it might bring quite a bit of pain as we discuss, you know, certain issues related to the program. But we really need to embark on public education efforts on the new GTLD program. And also, another communications objective is to improve the department's operational excellence efforts. So for the communication strategy, there are different things that are being done, including diversity outreach, as well as helping to set the tone of the conversation. To quickly look at some of the achievements that have been made, and I'll just quickly jump on a few. At Davos, we partnered with the Boston Consulting Group to really encourage people to look at the regulations and conditions that allow the internet to flourish. The report is called Greasing the Wheels of the Internet Economy, and they come up with an e-friction index, trying to link a correlation between low friction, which means possibly a regulatory regime that is flexible and free, and making that correlation between low friction with economic success. Sure, no problem. Thanks. And so for that, we had 5,000 page views and 461 downloaded in the first 12 days of that. We also have significant global media coverage. For the new GTLD hits, for the first delegation, we had 850 media hits with over 6,000 social media conversations. I also want to just quickly touch about what we've done through the Speakers Bureau, social media outreach, as well as regional efforts, but I don't want to spend too much time beating our own chests. So I'll go straight into the discussion. I think we generally agree that in terms of raising awareness and building communications capabilities, we do see an upward trajectory. But we're constantly looking for new ways to meet such an objective, and we would like to open ourselves up for creative partnership and to open up for new ideas. So there are four questions that we have on the paper to see if these can trigger some reactions. One, can we seek innovative ways to rethink our collaboration with our partners, such as ISOC, TLD operators, people in the group room, RIRs, to raise awareness? Can we use your network, maybe? The second thing that we raise just to trigger some reactions, how can we maximize the global attention we're getting on internet governance, IANA transition, to engage new stakeholders? Obviously, this is something that affects all of us, but how do we get people outside of this room to understand and engage in the effort? Can we leverage on the strength of our community, such as our at-large structures, which has such a great network around the world, or even the GAC? I mean, you know, when you have so many countries around the table, maybe they have their own networks for raising awareness as well. Are there things that we can do together? Can we leverage on the strength? Can we forge new partnerships with interested friends, such as industry players like internet companies and registrars? So this is a summary of the paper you have in front of you. And I guess at this stage, we open the floor up for any suggestions you have or any comments, anything, any observations you have in terms of the awareness building work that we're trying to do at ICANN.
Hello. Hello, I'm Yadi from Singapore. Just a question on the slide from Gay for Guild on the cookie policy. Because basically my team or engineers, we have an NDA signed with the client or with the company that we work with. So what's the cookie policy all about?
So we are making the cookie policy very visible when we launch the site. When you click in, you will see it and have to acknowledge that we have it. The cookie policy is that we have cookies. We do track visitors who come through for our own reasons of trying to understand what content they are looking at. That is pretty much the policy. If they don't accept having a cookie, then they need to then leave the website.
But going back to Quack, is it a barrier to increasing the awareness of ICANN? Because basically the engineers have NDA signed with the company that they work with. If, let's say, the discussion is open, because we come from the online data collection, or basically we do data collection on iPad.
No, I understand, and perhaps that's a topic for discussion. You know, we do use cookies so that we understand what's happening on the website, so that we can allocate resources and do all of that. But it would be difficult for us to manage the website effectively without them. But I do understand your point. But
yeah, it's a very interesting question. And a very good one to raise in this kind. This is exactly, by the way, the reason for getting together this morning, is to raise some of these more challenging questions. This session is not really about answers. It's exactly for this kind of purpose. And so that we at the staff are really aware of some of the things that we need to tackle at the next stage of our rollout, this is a good one. One of the things I wanted to just mention, and I'd be very interested in people's thoughts on this, related to the cookie question. When you saw the three-circle model, when we designed that, we knew we had to build for scale. And some of you will have been in these sessions a year, 18 months ago, when that was really what we were talking about, is how do we scale? You know, there are so many people that we really should talk to, and I could never hire enough regional vice presidents to do that, so we have to do it online. And one of the challenges that Chris and I wrestled with and continue to wrestle with is this question about how much data do you need from the users in order to deliver a service that works for them. And historically, the answer to that was, well, we just didn't collect any data. We just didn't collect any. So when we started 18 months ago, well, a year ago, realistically, it just feels like 18 months. feels like about 5 years, actually. That's internet years. ICANN years are like dog years, I think. But when we started, we were really hampered by this. I mean, seriously hampered. Because, I mean, as an engineer, you will know, how do you design for something if you have no data? I mean, there's no map. You don't know even where you are to begin with, let alone where you might end up. So this, I think, is the solution that we're at today. And the website is much more than a website. It's really an application. And I think it's important to remember that. And the second point is that it's using an agile development process. So the kind of thing you're raising now, I think we have to see how we go. Because there will always be a trade-off between The cookies allow us to collect data. Great. That answers that question. But you're right. Maybe you are right. Maybe the cookies will put people off. Now, here's my question to you or to the audience. How will we know if people aren't coming to the website? So we need to somehow, what I'm thinking of listening to you is, we need to find a way somehow of capturing that point. So maybe there's a place on the site, or we use the social media channels to capture. I don't want to encourage people not to come because of the cookies, don't get me wrong, but we do need to try and find a way of establishing whether people are being put off by that. So I think let's take that as an action. I'm not quite sure how. Maybe the digital group can give some thoughts on that. Thank you.
Hi, Mehmet, Microsoft Now, ex-ICANN. So can we seek innovative ways to rethink collaboration? I'm going to tie that back to a previous slide, actually. I was taking some notes. The calendar. Excellent idea. Community needs one single place where they can go and see all the events. They can attend. They can tell people it would be a good idea to attend. This applies to every business. I represent Microsoft today, and when I represented ICANN, I still would think that that's a good idea. And back to this question, there is exactly the same calendar exists for ISOC. There is similar calendar exists for RIRs. I'm not saying they're any better, but I think one way would be to actually talk to these guys and say, it doesn't matter where it lives, as long as community is able to benefit most out of it. Perhaps ICANN is the right place, perhaps ISOC, I don't know. But I will support whatever the decision is made after that. I think there should be one place where these can happen. And I failed to actually see in the demo, which might be just the perfect sense because it's a basic demo, a way that I can actually synchronize. I don't really like to go to websites from my phone when I want to find out an event, right? What if it was some sort of feed that I could just subscribe and see it, my Outlook and things like that? I'm sure you're working on it because this just makes sense. The other thing that I always thought it would make sense is, what if, other than website, how many people here has a smartphone? Everybody? Okay. How many people actually types? Do you type more website addresses, or do you actually use more applications to go and do what you want to do? The answer, there's actually a statistic behind this. There's 85% people uses applications. Only 15% people goes to a browser and goes to a website. And that's only because they don't have an application. So I think it would be a good idea to consider for engagement to have an application. One last thing. I think this is a little bit technical, but even if you don't have an application for web, I think it would be a good idea to have a mobile-friendly platform. Because right, I just popped up my iPhone, and I looked at the website, the new website. I'm shooting too much by, you know, making too many suggestions. Just to finalize and wrap this up, I think ICANN has been doing an amazing job, an unbelievable effort to go so many parts of the world where you literally have to change your lifestyle and adapt to this trainings to do the better for world. One thing I would love to see right now is, how can I can make this information, this material that's being taught, available for those that are striving to learn from where they are? And they can't wait for ICANN to reach and get to them. ICANN is doing their best, but as you just said, you can hire enough vice presidents to get around. So that's it. I think that would be a great focus. And again, I would like to extend, how can Microsoft help that mission to be achieved? Thank you.
Sure. Those are all great, great questions, great ideas. So let me take a couple of them. The new website is not fully finished, so it will be mobile responsive, absolutely. We are also taking the attitude, we're discussing publishing a manifesto of sorts, you know, in when it comes to developing new services, and one of those was going to be, you know, a mobile first strategy, and no longer one of being desktop first. So we're still discussing that, some of the implications. As for an application, that is, you know, a mobile application, I'm very interested. We just haven't done it because of resources, resource constraints. We're actually, you know, despite all the work we put out, we're actually not a huge organization. And but would love to have input from the community. And, you know, if a mobile app is really good, what are the platforms we should support, and what should it do? Would love to have that discussion. So, you know.
Quickly add there, yeah. Just imagine the opportunity of you not being able to rely on the fact that somebody is reading an email or a tweet, but you can push notifications to people's phones, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Sally was just mentioning, I think this is something that should be brought up for the digital advisory group. So I'll definitely bring it up to them. And, you know, again, feel free to join that group. It's open to everybody. It's a great group. So, but I'll bring it up to them as well and see what they say. And then we can come back to the community with some ideas. Lastly, there was something about, you know, education and learning. We do have a platform, I Can Learn, which is open to the community to post content. We do have a staff person who can even help you create and author content. So all we did was create the platform, and we just sort of opened it up and said, "Hey, it's yours to work with." So we can use that, I think, as a means to doing something, some of the stuff that you're thinking about. So, but thank you very much. Some good ideas. Thanks.
I'm Waleed Al-Sakar from Yemen, also an ICANN fellow. First of all, I'd like to congratulate ICANN for appointing the Middle East Coordinator for Engagement, Fahd al-Batayanan. It was really a fabulous step forward. The biggest contribution that would help is in bridging the language barrier, which is very important to understand as one of the hindrances of not only ICANN, ISOC, and all of those internet-related agencies. This would help us eliminate that. But I'd like to tap into another important resource, which is not only the coordinators, actually the fellows themselves. Those are a vast number of people who have the potential of enriching their communities with information, with access to what they need to know about ICANN. However, in my case, for example, I travel quite a lot between Yemen and Sweden. Occasionally, I find opportunities to bring in some perspectives about ICANN, but if there could be some sort of grant, for example, a solid grant that allows fellows and also those who are available in those communities to tap into the resources of ICANN to establish very solid, concrete, well-organized activities to introduce that, because that has proven very useful for ISOC, and being the director of ISOC Yemen, our chapter, I have tapped into that and find it very useful. Apart from that, also, we can use that to link those who are involved in multiple stakeholders, such as, for example, those who are involved on the one hand in the government, as well as being a fellow, and those who are not, for example, in civil society. Those could all come together in the same platform in those countries. So I see that as a solid opportunity.
Really great suggestion. Now, Jeannie, could you just take the mic to Rob, sitting over there? Hello, Rob. I'm going to give you 30 seconds warning. So this is a really good bridge to just talk about a program that we have that could help with that, which is called the... Rob, could you just explain the CROP program really quickly? Because this is exactly what the CROP program has been set up to help with, isn't it?
Yes. Thanks, Sally. Just a very quick overview. ICANN created a pilot project for our current fiscal year. We've got many requests from the community over the years for travel, for outreach support, for publication support. They were a mixed bag of different types of requests. We like to refer to them as almost the fruit bowl. We had requests for oranges and apples and pears. And what the staff did is we tried to take all the best qualities of some of these opportunities and to help create a pilot program to give individual communities in the GNSO and the at-large community the opportunity to identify on their own opportunities for reaching out to specific events, participating in particular activities. We created a system, and individual communities within at-large and the GNSO have established some of their own processes for making a determination as to whether a particular event or activity fit into the overall philosophy for outreach for that community. The only other aspect of that's critical that ties in the community's interest with ICANN's strategic plan is that the community then partners with the stakeholder engagement vice president in the region where an activity is proposed to partner, to identify what works great. And once those two groups can come together, an opportunity has been made available for 5 trips. It's just a pilot for fiscal year 14 for each of those communities. So far, we've had about 10% of the overall inventory of trips arranged and approved within the individual communities and with the stakeholder VPs. We have another perhaps 2 months, I think, Sally, for members of the community to come forward and to propose additional activities so that we can meet this fiscal year's requirements. We're hopeful, based on what we've learned, that we'll be able to continue that program in the next fiscal year with some additional funding and maybe some additional flexibility with respect to the trips. But the real key component, I think, for us all to appreciate is it's a partnership between the community and ICANN's resources. Finding a way to blend what individual communities see as priorities with the regional engagement strategies that the various communities have set up. So is that helpful, Sally?
Is that helpful?
If anyone has any questions about it, we've got space on the wiki. We have worked with a number of probably your communities. It is limited right now to just the 5 RALOs and the 5 non-contracted constituencies within the GNSO. We're hopeful over time that with learning, we'll be able to expand it, but that's in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I'm conscious of time. Do we have a question about crop? Perfect. If we could take that, and then we're going to switch to the next topic and hand over to Rodrigo.
Yeah, my name is Jimson Olufuye. Just a quick follow-up from what Rob just said, and we reference to the document before me. I didn't see real focus on the use of communities for the global engagement, but he said it's a pilot that just started, and it's to say that we need to give it more focus because the general public is not really aware of what we do. They don't have the expertise, but the communities have the expertise to be able to get the message down to the ground and their specific sector in the public ecosystem.
Thank you. It's a really good point, and I'm going to ask Rodrigo to take the lead for the next session. Before I do, I just wanted, while we're all together, to reference, and Quek mentioned it in the paper, the opportunity that the NTIA transition facilitation process offers us. Now, I'm not going to go into any detail now unless we want to later on in this session, but I just wanted this group to know that as far as the ICANN staff are concerned, we've of course been asked to, the ICANN community has been asked to convene this process. And we think that some of the feedback we've had this week is that this is a tremendous opportunity to do precisely what you're saying, which is to really mobilize the expert parties in the community to really do a lot of that outreach around the world. We have to reach 200 countries, more than 200 countries. Let's assume there are 4 constituency groups in 200 countries. I mean, as you know, my colleagues in America say, do the math. You know, this is a very, very significant task. So I take absolutely what you say, Jimson. You're right. And I think this is a moment in time when we can really stand on the accelerator together to make that happen. So I really, really hope that as we go into that next process of the facilitation dialogue, that will really happen. I'm sure that it will. And not just on that topic, by the way, because I suspect what's going to happen is that it's going to open a lot of other people's eyes to what happens here and why they might be. It could be great for our overall engagement. You know, I hope so. So we'd like to move to Rodrigo now and switch, Rodrigo and Pierre, and switch to the next topic. Thank you, Rodrigo.
Thank you, Sally, and good morning, everyone. I'll suspect that if you didn't read the Raising Awareness paper, you haven't also read the Capacity Building paper. So I'll try to be brief in summarizing what we have in this paper. And, of course, I'm here with my colleague, Pierre, and if you feel you want to compliment or correct, please go ahead. So I think we all agree what the importance is for, or how critical it is for ICANN to build upon our multi-stakeholder model. So we keep on listening to this all the time, and we should be aware that we need to build and feed that model. So we do have very good representation already for the different stakeholder groups, but we have still a long way to go to reach out to all of the missing stakeholder groups or part of the stakeholder groups that are not represented in within ICANN structure, particularly in the developing regions. So, and when people come to ICANN for the first time, or they hear about ICANN and start to become engaged, they feel very excited. They like it when they come here. It's a good thing. They go back home, and they feel, well, I really want to stay engaged, and I really want to stay, try to represent my community, or be a part of a working group within ICANN, or how can I do it? But that's precisely the question. So how do I really become and stay engaged with ICANN and its processes? So even if people buy into the model, so to speak, they don't know really how to engage. So the community, different communities from the region, starting with Africa, starting to make what we call the regional strategies. Regional strategies are not ICANN strategies. They were pretty much designed as a bottom-up process with community members from various stakeholder groups, with many different objectives. But at the core of it is how to become engaged with ICANN. That's a good component of that. There are others, and we may comment on that. But within that, they have all of them. So we have a strategy for Africa. We have a strategy for Latin America and the Caribbean. We have one also going on for the Middle East. The Asia engagement strategy is already on the way, and Europe and North America are thinking how they can approach that. But pretty much they have that in place now. And one of the components of these strategies, the ones that are in place, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East, they all have a strong component of capacity building. So actually one of the questions for discussion or feedback is precisely to have a common understanding of what we mean for capacity building, even to try to say, to see if in your own language there is a exact translation for this concept. But that's just about when I will open the floor for comments. There are, just try to explain what we mean for capacity building in the context of a regional strategies. We know that to become engaged, community and groups, they need to be trained or to have more abilities or tools in two tracks. So, for example, of course, in substance, right? The substance that's been discussed in ICANN. So they need to learn, for example, DNS technical issues, and they will need to learn about IP addressing, how that works, and the allocation that. Also, on another track, how ICANN works, right? The model, how it interacts, how can you start a policy development process? How can you become engaged in a working group? What does all these sessions mean for you? You need to know, and sometimes it's not really straightforward. Even though we try to make it as simple as possible, it's so overwhelming to be here for the first time and try to understand. So capacity building, it's also related to that. And finally, on tools, right? Tools for discussion. So this is, in most cases, discussion fora, where people will meet together and need to discuss a very important subject, sometimes sensitive issues. So how can they do that better? So facilitation training skills, something started already in Buenos Aires with the community, and it's happening also with staff. And also, another component of the strategy, so the regional strategy, has to do with external capacity building. So we are also providing technical capacity, for example, for CCTLDs, for the whole community, for the ISP communities in the regions, for security, stability, resiliency, etc. So we are building on many subjects around capacity building. Now, Two of the main issues where we will love to hear your input are, the first one, what do you think of this current approach of the regional strategies and capacity building? We'll love to hear your feedback from that. And the other part, if we could, is how we've been partnering with some organizations. As I mentioned, this is bottom-up regional strategy processes. It's not ICANN just providing capacity building in a top-down fashion. It is partnering with LACNIC, with ISOC, with the RALOS, with everybody in the community, with GAC members. All of them are part of this. How can we continue to partner with them, perhaps even further? And what other innovative means do you think we could take advantage of to advance this? So these are the two main questions for discussions. And thank you.
Hi, can I make some suggestion and comment as well? First of all, thank you for organizing this interesting, the session.
But I'm sorry, would you mind, I hate to interrupt you, would you mind stating your name for the record? Thank you.
YJ Park from AP RALO. Yes. I think if we remember the first global stakeholder engagement session organized, I think it was in Beijing, where we had a lot of excitement and we have a lot of expectation about this global stakeholder engagement. And now, unfortunately, we don't have that much interest from the community, maybe because we have a lot of, the competitive issues with other meetings. So one of the proposal I wanted to give to this global stakeholder engagement team is, based on what just Rodrigo presented to us, as more like the regional approach to this global consensus building process, because ICANN has been experimenting more constituency-oriented the consensus building process for the past 15 years. And now we just naturally kind of try to form this the regional consensus process, mainly because, as you highlighted, some of the regions cannot be very effective in many with many different reasons, language barriers and also the technical barriers and operationally, they don't have this well-advanced kind of agendas that can be applicable to their regions and their nation states. So they are all the time lag behind. If they participate in this constituency-oriented discussion, they don't feel very connected to this constituency's the interest. On the other hand, when we get together in the name of the region, many of us feel very more connected to this, the regional kind of interest. And so maybe at some point, like for the future ICANN meeting, we can have more regional platform kind of the meetings where all stakeholders can get together, the government representative and also the ARS and the different kind of stakeholders from GTLD stakeholders and CCTLD stakeholders. So maybe one of the easiest consensus we can build is from the regions, and that can get go through this global stakeholder engagement process. I think that might be one of the process we can think about to build this global issues from now on.
Could I just ask you a follow-up question on that? And it would just be good to get the view in the room if people have it. One of the things that we will do after this meeting is we have a questionnaire that goes out after the meeting, which I know many of you fill in generally about the meetings every time. And I was thinking about putting a question on that questionnaire specifically about what format we should use in the future for talking about engagement. Because you're right, I think this has evolved enormously in the last 12 months. And we shouldn't always necessarily think we need to do the sessions in the same way. We need to change and adapt depending on, as we all learn and we all do different, we've built a lot of things already. So if I just want to understand your suggestion correctly, do you think then that it would be, you're saying, instead of having us all together like this talking generally about engagement, we should break into regional groups and have the stakeholders together so that it's kind of more operational. So we might build in much more engagement discussions, for example, to the regional strategy meetings and make them more working meetings. Is that what you mean? I just want to make sure I understand.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
For example, like ICANN has a very big challenge of forming a global consensus on IANA transition kind of issues. And I think to form some kind of the, you know, the ground, the consensus in this community, I think the regional approach might be working a lot better than the constituency approach in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we have this constituency approach, kind of this consensus process, which has been experimented for the past 15 years, which we didn't really have tried this regional basis, the
That's
consensus approach. But at some levels, you know, APTLD, the CCTLDs, they have this, they are on the regional basis and APNIC, but they are not all integrated with government's level and these other stakeholders in ICANN constituencies. So maybe from now on about those, the globally challenging issues, we should kind of consider to have regional basis consensus building process which can be more effective and which can you know, congregate more similar interests among those the regional participants.
Mehmet, Microsoft again. So ICANN historically since 1998 has been doing great job with engagement. There's no doubt about that. It's been only improving. When you look at the engagement strategy, the first tier has always been the parties that are directly impacted, CCTLDs, RIRs, perhaps a little bit of ISOC, IETF, and other TLDs. So recently with the launch of new GTLDs, ICANN has an amazing opportunity to expand its engagement towards companies that in the past it has not directly actually touched with. Microsoft, Google, you name it, Facebook, Twitter, all those. I think ICANN could use this as a possible way of expanding its relationships and get into enterprise, banks, you name it, right? Like new GTLDs, I think, is a great opportunity for ICANN to leverage its contacts with the new fields. But enterprise is one area that it's very clear that every time I go to meetings with the business partners as a Microsoft, I see very lack or non-information regards ICANN. I think this is an area that would make a significant impact to the businesses and therefore users.
Yeah. So we have Christopher Mondini, who covers both business engagement and stakeholder engagement for North America. And Chris is going to talk about efforts of expanding into new communities, reaching out better with the business community.
Okay, thanks. And thanks, Mehmet. It's a perfect transition question. My name is Chris Mondini. I lead business engagement for Global Stakeholder Engagement Group. I also do have a regional role in North America, but today I'm here in my stakeholder category engagement role. And the framing question for which I'd really welcome feedback is, how can we take some of the lessons and outcomes of business engagement and build upon them for outreach to expand to new communities such as civil society and academia? So I just want to take a couple of minutes to talk about some of the tactics we've used in business engagement, the results, the lessons learned, and a couple of the pitfalls, and hear from you how we might apply what we've learned in these last few months of doing business engagement to other stakeholder categories. So, some of the tactics we established for the outer edge of that concentric engagement circle: platforms, social media, where we could be easily followed by businesses that are just getting to learn about what ICANN is and how it affects them. And in a few short months, we have 600 Twitter followers for ICANN for Biz. We have a couple of hundred members of our LinkedIn group. After each ICANN meeting, we're publishing a business digest where we try to summarize in 8 pages the high-level headlines of what is important to a business of any kind. And we've had, after the last one, 4,000 downloads of that in many languages. We put it in every language. So again, these are businesses that are not necessarily coming and actively participating, but they're learning about ICANN, and we're trying to get into the enterprise space, greater awareness. We have a newcomers program at ICANN. Here in ICANN 49, on Friday, the local office had 100 small and medium enterprises really just spend half a day to learn at a very high level how ICANN enables the internet and how internet enables their business success. We usually have events where we connect on a very micro level some of the newcomers to some of our existing community stakeholders. We had a webinar where we highlighted some of the constituency leaders from the commercial stakeholders group in an hour talk about what they do at ICANN and why. And while we had local representation on that webinar, and about 40 people attended the webinar, we had over 100 people go to the recording and in a very concise way, in 60 minutes, learn about how business can engage at ICANN. We have also some specialty programs, tactical programs that are important to business. So we made a toolkit on how to host an LRoute, which may be of interest to network operators. We have very concise presentations on the trademark clearinghouse and how to protect your brand or your trademark. And whether it's an ICANN engagement member of the team or a community member, these are off-the-shelf tools that, again, can, on a very specific topic basis, get the word out. So we are raising awareness, and we've seen some success in terms of increasing followership. We have more name recognition and awareness of ICANN's role, this growing number of followers, as I said, more businesses coming to ICANN meetings to see what they're about when we're in the region, and even increased participation in other internet governance-related activities, such as NetMundial or other fora. ISOC has increased its corporate membership and so forth. So the lessons that we've learned are the following. After we initially raise awareness with business, they look for a differentiated message very quickly. They get the headline about how ICANN affects them. Then they want to get into the detail about how it affects their particular business. And so we're frantically working to differentiate by sector and on message, tailoring the message, whether it's about trademark protection, technical security issues. This is also very important on a topical basis. Hugely important is local language translation. The reason we're getting followers, the reason we're getting downloads of the Business Digest is because I'm convinced of the translation and the content in multiple languages. And simplifying the message and making it really constituency agnostic at the outset to first attract people to that outer circle is really the strategy we've employed. But then, and amplifying the message through partner organizations and associations has been very important. I'll finish on a couple of the shortfalls and a couple of the challenges we're facing right now. We need to make better use of the online learning platform that we've talked about. Again, as we differentiate by sector and by business topic, I think that's going to be a really important way to bring people on in a way that responds to their needs. We really need to find a way to streamline onboarding to active participation when people decide that they do want to become part of this community. This meeting, more than any other, I've encountered new business sector attendees saying, my company or my business association, we care about intellectual property issues. We also care about security and stability issues. We also use the internet to reach our markets across borders. Where should I sign up? And this is, again, something that we'll be working with all of you on streamlining for the business engagement. Now, if we take that kind of engagement for a broad stakeholder category, you're all aware of how we artificially, I guess, in some sense, look at stakeholder categories. You always hear them mentioned as civil society, the private sector, government, the technical community. The framing question, again, that we would like to hear from you is, having heard what we've done with the business engagement, how can we apply what we've done or what we've learned to another stakeholder category? And in this case, civil society, academia. So are there any thoughts on that? The attorney.
Chris Chapman, business constituency. Sorry, I'm not going to answer your question, but to talk on the business side. I'll put my hand up before you ask the question. Yeah. Thanks for going through all this good work that you're doing, Chris, and explaining a lot of detail. From the business constituency, it just occurs to me, I have a concern that I don't see a flood of people coming into the business constituency either with leads or filling in the application form. So I think perhaps from both sides, we've perhaps got to work at a channel to make sure all these people that are now business engaged and are floating around ICANN, to assume that's part of the strategy, that they come to us. So I think that's one thing we need. And just to make a comment about the events, I think for the best way to get more engagement at the events, that's the events that you do in relation to, you know, like last Friday's or the lunch we had the other day, to work closely with the Chambers of Commerce in where the meetings are held. And I think, because I'm a member of certain Chambers of Commerce, and, you know, unfortunately it doesn't mean just sending an email to the Chamber of Commerce and saying there's going to be an ICANN meeting and perhaps we're talking London now. I'm afraid it means you're actually going there and having an appointment with the governing committee or whatever it is, get them excited, get them on board, and that way, you know, I think we'd be talking of hundreds of people at these events. I think that's the way. You know, because we get some invites and we just, you know, sometimes some people run with it, sometimes they don't, and it's, you know, sometimes just send a few people along just as a courtesy, but that's not what we want, so that's my suggestion. Thanks.
Is it my turn? Yes, my name is Tony Harris. I'm with the Internet Service Providers constituency and executive director of the Argentina Internet Association. I think this is a very interesting discussion. Apologies, I got in a little late. But I would comment the following on the question. I think that the most useful way to approach civil society and leverage on what on the experiences with the business sector would be to address a very specific sector, which is, I think, the one that has the highest impact and potential to have significant results. I'm talking about the NGOs. A couple of years ago, I had a very interesting experience. I was helping the Public Internet Registry to create awareness for their coming new TLDs, the ONG and NGO strings, and I had to organize a breakfast in Argentina with NGOs. Well, we personally telephoned at least about 120 NGOs. We got quite a good attendance, around 40, and I was amazed at the interest they showed in this very, let's say, simple issue, which was the advent of two new TLDs that had to do with their sector. They were really amazed that, you know, we'd even bothered to contact them, and there was a follow-up from them. We want to know more. How can we obtain these new TLDs? And basically, to go beyond this very, very simple and small example, NGOs represent numerous participants. They use, let's say, the internet for very, very simple reason. It's cheap, it's inexpensive. They normally don't have much in the way of resources. So using technology for their outreach, their communications, and whatever they are undertaking with their community is really something they do on a daily basis. So they tend to be quite tech savvy on that aspect. They're very active. All their memberships usually show a lot of enthusiasm on what they're doing. Most of them, or let's say a large number of them, represent professional sectors, and they are also pretty much engaged in social inclusion on a general scale. And the input you get from them, I think, has extreme value because they're not individual opinions. They represent the opinions of sometimes quite large aggregations of people. So my suggestion would be in regards to increasing participation of NGOs. We have a new constituency, the NPOC, which is handling that in ICANN with great effort, I think. They could probably use a little more assistance, maybe some more targeted fellowship sponsorships to get more people to the meetings and things like that. I think they have announced some program called I Engage, which seems to be headed in this direction. And, well, that's my input. I think this is something you might want to consider. Thank you.
That's hugely helpful. Thank you for that, the very thoughtful responses. It is interesting. I hear echoes of some of the business messaging where we know with businesses to go in and look at the bottom line and how the internet enables their revenue and business success. But for the NGO and nonprofit community, the internet is an inexpensive resource for them to mobilize. And so, there's even this sort of resource angle to the discussion. And also, I liked what you said about the activism of the groups and how they aggregate a lot of and can mobilize numbers of opinion, because that's really, if you think about civil society as a stakeholder category in our multi-stakeholder model, that's really what they bring to the table. It's the power of their ideas and the numbers that they rally around them. Other stakeholder categories have other levers of influence, but I like that what your experience has shown is that the numbers and the activism were evident in your experience there in Argentina. And with NPOC, I actually just was talking with the NPOC about the community regional outreach pilot program, which is precisely to the point about resources. So I heard partnering with our existing constituencies, reaching out to the NGOs, emphasizing the internet as a tool for them, partner organizations. And I'm delighted by your experience, because we'll come back to you to learn more about how to take it to other regions as well. Thanks.
And this is Janice Dumoulin for the record. And just while we're getting to the next question, we're advertising for the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, but I'd also look to put another plug in. And Chris, this is kind of back to your point of the Speaker Bureau. And the Speaker Bureau is less than a year old, and it has, to date, provided expertise from ICANN staff upon request. Very simply on the website, you can go in for and fill out the online application and request for someone on staff to come to your particular event or forum that you're holding. But I want to even go one step further in saying that we post the PowerPoints and the handouts that are used for these events and others on the Community Wiki under the GSE and communications, so that everyone can benefit from the communications from those events. And just recently, we had a situation where a speaker was requested. Pierre, as the VP for Africa, was booked, I think, triply. And he said, well, we have a great community member who has amazing expertise in this area, and I think he can handle the event. And it was Tijani Benjama, who was a fellow in Cairo, and who is a leader now in AFRELO, in the at large. And so he actually went and spoke on ICANN's behalf using our presentation materials. And I talked to Tijani here, and he was thrilled that he was able to provide his expertise, his knowledge and leadership, and help ICANN in that way. So we continue to grow and evolve in working with the community and providing ways through CROP or the Speaker Bureau, that we can be there to help raise awareness and to help propagate participation and to get the word out. So maybe we need to blast out once again to others other than the ICANN wall that we do have these opportunities.
Hello. Sorry, this is Yadi again. I'm just curious about when you mentioned business, what type of business, basically what type of scale. If I'm thinking out loud, my mom sells cake online. Is it considered business? Does she need to know about ICANN? If she knows, isn't it good? You know. So even my friends have online business. So do they need to know about ICANN? You know, those are the things that I'm looking at when you mention about business. So if you look at the ecosystem, they use PayPal or eBay to buy and sell to sell their products online. So maybe you can partner with PayPal or eBay.
I think you actually have a couple of people sitting right behind you that would be very delighted to also engage on your question about business. To answer your question, though, we define business very broadly. And if you recall, this concentric circle approach, I think it's a good thing that businesses know of the internet as a tool to further their aims, and that it's a good thing that they know there's an organization that looks after that internet. And for your mom, that's enough. Now, for my colleague from Microsoft, they have, at a different magnitude of way that they're using, relying on developing, enhancing, or working with the internet, and we engage with them as well. So the answer is, we're across all sectors, we look at all sizes, this is really, as I said, we have had some success in initial awareness raising, and now differentiating between size, geography, sector, and what matters is really going to be the next wave of business engagement, I believe. It's a wonderful question. Thank you.
Hi, Pierre. You haven't spoken yet, so... Hi. It's a unique opportunity to have all the ICANN staff in the front of me for my business perspective. So I represent a business, but I'm going to speak out loud and ask this question on behalf of other businesses in the room as well. You travel, you engage, you learn certain things that it's very hard for us to learn from our perspective. Right, this is Microsoft perspective, this is Google perspective, etc. How can we help you? So there are three main topics: raising awareness, capacity building, expanding communities. We need you to help us to help you back. We want to learn because we don't have the answers. Well, we might, but we just don't know that we have the answers. So one thing I think that would be very useful is, I don't want to use the word transparency, but I don't know any other word to replace it with. Maybe a little bit openness about the fact that what's really needed without really going around and trying to explain it. How can we help you? So, because the thing is, at the end, you're a nonprofit corporation. You're not really making money out of it. And we are. So how can we help you so you can help us back? Thank you.
Some of you have heard me say the internet's not about technology, it's about people. Sometimes it has to be about technology, but not this morning. So that's a great question, Amit. It's almost a sort of an existential question, actually. And I'm going to also use it to round off the session because we're out of time. In the 18 months that I've been at ICANN with this brief, collectively as a community, I think we've come a long way. And it's really been very great to get that feedback from you, not just in this meeting, but in many other meetings, particularly here in Singapore. And I've been thinking, I think it just takes time to build enough delivery that you kind of look back behind you and you see how far you've come. But you also realize how far we have to go. And I have a very strong hope that we can keep the momentum that we've built, but we can also recognize that we're now moving, the wheels are spinning, and we need to go do different things, as well as maintain the things we did. We don't keep on repeating them. So now, at this stage, we've built our internal capacity pretty well, I think. Most of the people are in place. They were not when we met in Beijing. Most of the platform is in place. It really wasn't when we met in Beijing. Most of the strategy has been tested in most communities and in most places. That's not an absolute statement, but we're nearly there. So we've tried and tested a lot of things in the last 18 months, and we got a sense of kind of what's working, which is what Chris was saying, and starting to think about how do we take that learning into other areas. The piece we need to do now, I think, better, is to take what we know in staff and mobilize it in the community, and not just the community we have in ICANN, but the wider community that is now becoming part of ICANN, particularly, but not exclusively, through the GTLD process. I mean, this is what is bringing the Microsofts, the Googles, and the Facebooks in a much bigger way into ICANN than they were before. But also, it's bringing smaller businesses in. It's bringing NGOs in. Once you start seeing community TLDs, for example, I loved what you were saying about the NGOs, and I wrote down, wow, we need to lean on the community GTLDs as they start to delegate, because this is a very obvious link in my head as to how to join the dots between the community group, NPOC, the GTLDs, new community sites, and the energy that you're talking about in the middle is the engagement, you know, making sure that we use these tools to bring them together. At a very simple level, this is going to sound very basic, but I'm going to say it because I want everyone to hear the message. One of the things we're going to do next to help the process of mobilizing is start to communicate on a regular basis with engagement newsletter, if you like. A newsletter is a kind of 1980s word, but I just can't think of a better one today. Partly for transparency reasons, but it's not because I think people don't trust that we're doing the right thing. When people demand transparency, sometimes it implies you're deliberately trying not to tell me something. I don't think that's the issue here. I think people just need to know. I mean, what are you doing? And what do you need help with? And that will make that, we'll try and do that for some, we'll try and do the first one for the London meeting. And we'll work with you to make sure that we're addressing the right topics, but we'll do the very best we can to do that through a regional lens, but also through a constituency lens, through a stakeholder group view, so something, you know, on business. Now, we are beginning to produce regional newsletters, and we're beginning to get good return. Very early days, we haven't got that in every region, but we've got a template. And the website area around engagement is going to get a big refresh on the interface that you saw earlier. So in the next 3 to 6 months, you'll be able to go to the site, scan on the map, hover on the mouse, go into Africa, not literally, and see not just what events are going on, and we have to look at that issue about how do we make sure we don't duplicate with ISOC and the RIRs, but also kind of hopefully everything else you want to know about Africa, whether you're a business, whether you're an NGO, you know, content, information, asking for help, working groups, updates, you name it. Not going to happen overnight. As we go through that process, we'll start with a simple piece of communication, like a newsletter that says, here's what's going on, please give us feedback, tell us more about what you need. And hopefully, Mehmet, this will help specifically your question, which is, well, what are you doing and what do you need from me, which is what I heard you say, and how can you help me? And I think there are many of you with different communities. You said the same thing about the NGOs, actually. It's the same question. If you, ICANN staff, don't tell us what you're doing, then how do we know? And we might find out, but we might not find out. So we really will focus on that, a newsletter, both regional, so two sorts, one regional and one around engagement. We'll do the first one, probably driven out of the staff just because of resources. But I would like to make that, in the future, I'd like to make that more of a sort of community effort. And before, I know Mehmet wants to say something else, so I'm going to let him do that. Do you want to just, before I finish
just,
up?
Just something little. I think it would be a good idea to outline things that are not in the scope when you are defining what kind of helps would be useful, you know, how can we help you. I think it would be just useful to outline what's really not out of, you know, in the scope, so we don't focus on things. You know, you might, some things that you say, okay, these are the areas that you could help, and we need to obviously match that with our business initiatives, right? But there might be certain things that are actually not in the scope. It's not that they are not important. It's just we intentionally did not focus on these because it does not fall in the charter of ICANN.
Actually, that's a great point, Mehmet. So that tells me that as we start to communicate externally more about what we're doing with engagement, we need to be clear about the terms of reference. I don't know if we need a problem statement. We might not need to go back that far, but we definitely need some TOR, some terms of reference. Thank you for that pointer. No? You don't want terms of reference?
Sorry. I just wanted to... quickly chip in. I mean, your question actually, I have something here I was saying, how to engage with the business. But you are putting the question, I mean, what we are expecting from you. That's why I really like your what you are saying. But I just wanted to refer to the kind of localization. Conflict I'm having most of the time is how do you engage with, of course, the global, you know, business. For instance, you're from... Google or Facebook, whatever, and also how to also engage with the SMEs, you know, for instance, in my region, because the SMEs in my region, they're most important. So how do we engage with them? But the question they are having most of the time is, what is in it for me? I mean, if you want me to engage with ICANN, what exactly is in it for me? So I think there is no, I mean, Sally said it, but I think it's also about information sharing. In our case, for instance, we are talking about our strategies. It would be interesting that, okay, we maybe expose those strategies to you, and then we see exactly how we could eventually, you know, partner with this. We had a session yesterday about partnership, for instance, and we wanted to hear more about what people, I mean, the business, you know, was expecting also from us. So I believe sharing information, for instance, would be interesting. And for us, how do we do the balancing between, I mean, localization and then the whole globalization as well? So I think this is kind of a dilemma we have. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to close the session now because if I don't, they're going to start taking the walls down around you, literally, because they have to open the air wall for the public forum. I just want to thank you all. This is a fantastic community to work in. Thank you for such good contributions this morning. I think it's really going to help. I hope you enjoy the rest of the meeting, and don't forget to keep talking to us. We like to listen. Thank you so much. Bye.